Thinking selling on Amazon US is just for US-based companies? Think again. Welcome to Glow from Asia, episode number 96. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight-up, actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Hey, guys. Pretty exhausted over here. It was one of the most amazing startup events ever for Hong Kong, the RISE conference this past weekend, and probably one of the best events for tech and startups I've been to in quite a while, maybe anywhere in the world for me. And so it was a two-day event with speakers and booths and multiple stages and happy hour parties, and it was overwhelming, and my brain is still overwhelmed with just people, and I try to connect with everybody. I know there were some tweets and emails and things going back and forth, and I know I missed a few guys like Shane and some others. I'm really sorry about that, but I'm happy I met a lot of you. So thanks again for coming out. I hope you guys enjoyed. So now for this week's show, from popular demand, we have back with us Wilson Blues. He was back on the show with us episode number 66, where he's talking about F2C or factory consumer e-commerce. We'll link that in the show notes if you want to catch up. That's globalfromasia.com/episode66. But we didn't get into Amazon on that show, and I keep getting a lot of listeners asking about how to sell on Amazon with a Hong Kong company or from China, and how does that work, and taxes and things like that. So we have Wilson here. He's been doing it for many years, and he actually doesn't use the U.S. company anymore. He closed that down. He does everything through his Chinese company, and has the funds directly deposited to his Chinese bank account in Chinese yuan. So he explains with us pretty openly about how he does it. And it's not just for Chinese companies. It's for international businesses anywhere, like Hong Kong or other places. We'll link it on notes too. And I know people have been asking me a lot, so I'm really happy we finally got something about Amazon from Asia. So let's dig in. And after the interview, we'll do some announcements and other fun stuff. So stay tuned. All right, thank you everybody for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We have with us my friend back for a second time, Wilson Blues, who is on with us in episode 66. Thanks for being here, Wilson.
Hello, hello, Michael. Thank you for finding me on here. I'm so excited to come back to Global from Asia podcast.
And there might be some background noise because Miles wants to come in here and be on the show. So,
welcome, Miles.
Yeah, so... Anyway,
future founder
for sure. He's learning a lot just by being here. So, Wilson, for those that haven't gotten to listen to your previous show, can you give us a quick introduction of yourself and what you do?
Okay, my name is Wilson Blues. I'm doing the business of e-commerce, and now my main focus is Amazon and website, the web store. Yeah, this is what I'm doing now.
Yeah, we've known each other for quite a few years, met through Startup Weekend, and you've always been doing e-commerce. And give us a background, how many years you've been doing e-commerce?
It's approximately 4 years, I think so. Cool. Yeah, four years.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Okay, and that's great for our topic today because, I think there's a lot of podcasts that talk about Amazon, selling on Amazon, but we are here in China, so... You know, and you're Chinese, and from Chaozhou, right?
Yes,
Chaozhou. In south of China. And so I'm really excited that you're willing to share with us your strategies and some of your setups of how you do it. So first of all, maybe why Amazon? Why do you choose, you said web stores and there's eBay. A lot of people were talking about eBay before. Maybe just give us some ideas of why Amazon.
Amazon now is the biggest e-commerce platform in the globe, and especially in the US market. And, you know, Amazon now is promoting their Amazon Prime program. And like recently they have had Prime Day strategy to attract more new primers. And the experience on shopping on Amazon is really, really, really awesome. Really, really awesome. So I think Amazon is the potential and it's very trendy. So I think there are a lot of opportunities to make money on Amazon.
Definitely. And we were just recording this after their earnings on Wall Street, and it was up like 20% yesterday.
Yeah, almost 50%.
Yeah, so it's like double, up 50% this year, and seems like they're unstoppable. Another thing, they're not just e-commerce, they're also like web hosting. This podcast, I even use Amazon to host the podcast files, so AWS. Yeah. And that's just an amazing company to be, for, there's no doubt in our mind. So there's a lot of ways you can be a seller on Amazon. So we're going to, you're using FBA, which is Fulfillment by Amazon.
Yeah.
And, and maybe give us an overview of maybe how you set up your logistics for this.
You mean the logistics?
I have some clarifying questions, but you ship your goods from China to their FBA warehouse in the US.
Yes.
And then they ship to the customer when there's the order.
Yeah. There are two ways that we do the Amazon business. The old school way is just we ship from China, but the experience is very bad for the shoppers, for the buyers. And now we have turned to the FBA program, which is very good to the shoppers. And we usually ship via DHL or UPS, UPS or FedEx from China to the Amazon warehouse.
Got it. And so I know I have some questions here, and we talked a little bit about it before the show. So do you use a USA company to sell, or are do you have to have a company in America to sell? Or
a couple of years ago, we have two, but now Amazon offers a program called Global Selling Program. So we are able to open an account, a merchant account in China now.
Awesome.
It's very simple and easy.
Great. And then this might be too much information, but I know there's even, a lot of people in China that aren't even Chinese. So you get paid RMB, Chinese yuan, or dollars, and is it direct deposited? How do they settle the payments? It's still every 2 weeks, like in the US?
Yes.
Or?
We register an account on a service called Payoneer. It's like a middleman to help us to transfer the money. So here's how it works. First, every 2 weeks, Amazon will send the payment to our Payoneer account, which is something like a virtual service, virtual bank, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then we just take money from the Payoneer to our local China bank accounts. Yeah. That's how it works.
Got it. And then they would pay you in the currency in dollars?
No. When the money is back to our bank account in China, it's RMB.
Okay.
Very, very friendly, user-friendly, I mean. Yeah.
Okay. And so this, I know you're maybe only use it for China, but do you know, is that for any country or is that China? Like if people are in the US and they're in Hong Kong, there's a lot of listeners that have a Hong Kong company or other country companies. That would probably work for any country? Or is it special for China, Chinese sellers?
You mean the program?
Yeah.
Global selling. No, it's
I guess it's global. So it makes it sound like it's global.
Yeah,
so.
It's global.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So back to logistics. I clarified before we started, but so you ship DHL like 100 or 100 pieces or so. I guess it depends on the product, but you airship it to the US FBA warehouse. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't have a US company, I guess, how does it get into the, you said, maybe just talk about the customs clearance, the goods getting into the warehouse and FBA.
Actually, it is DHL who's handling this. So it's not an issue that we are concerning about. And you just, when there is something like a tax happens, that is the DHL inform us and we'll pay that.
So let's just do a math. It's a weekend when we're doing this, but I don't want to think too much. But so let's say it's $100 value and the tax is 10%. So you have to pay $10. So then DHL will add that to your account, your bill.
And then
you pay the $10 on top of the shipping fee.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So that's interesting. And I think also like inventory control. So if you sent 100 pieces to the FBA and then maybe you sell all 100 pieces, what happens? You have to send it right away, right? You have to send more goods, or how do you deal with the inventory control?
It's a bit complicated. Yeah, because sometimes you have to just monitor the sales situation, and just you have to monitor the inventory situation. So when the inventory becomes zero, the listing from on Amazon will disappear. Usually, we plan to make it like 1 week, to plan it like 1 week or 2 weeks, and we will do this frequently, like every week we will ship one time, yes, to ensure the inventory is fine.
And then I guess so. If you're doing DHL, it only takes how long does it take to get there usually?
Usually it takes 4 days to from 4 days to like 8 days, okay. Working days. I mean,
okay. So then you'll figure out when you have a certain like maybe 20 pieces out of 100 left. Maybe I should send another 100 pieces, and then next week it arrives. And then you don't want to get to zero, right? You want to always try to stay above zero inventory to keep your product selling, right?
Yes.
So I guess you would have like a minimum number alert, like alert me or if my inventory...
The dashboard on Amazon has such a feature to alert, but it depends on the sales volume. You know, when there is an item that has a very good sales, then we will have more inventory to prepare. But when the item has only like 2, 4, or 2, 5 sales per day, then we will not monitor it. Yeah, we will get alert and then just make it up.
This is really great. And I should have clarified this before, but so this is your own brand, or is this like, are you a seller on a current product, or... Because there's so many different ways. Amazon's pretty complicated, right? So do you make your own ASIN, like, which is, I think, Amazon stock number? Are you listing as your own brand, or are you listing on a current product listing?
You mean the private label?
Yeah,
private. Yeah, we have private label accounts, especially for private label products. But we also have the accounts just for the, you know, the buy box game, you know? Yeah. So the buy box game is the very unique system on Amazon. And
can you share with us?
Okay. It's very complicated. You have to always monitor what is the potential items, you know? And just to click the button sell on Amazon. There is a small button, you know?
Oh.
Sell on Amazon. Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to repeat back and see if I'm right. So basically, like, I've sold on Amazon like 5 or 6 years ago, so it's changed a lot. But I know there's like a listing of a microphone. I might need a new mic for the podcast because this one's been acting up. So if I see it on Amazon and I see like 10 sellers, and then there's like the best price is usually at the top. And is that the buy button, the best price of that product? Or am I wrong?
Amazon has their own very complicated algorithm. Yeah, it's not just the pricing factor. There are a lot of more important factors. So there are like a group of factors to decide who just get a buy box.
Yeah, so... I feel like your private label is better than try to...
Yeah, it's a long-term strategy. Private label is a long-term business, you know, because the sell on Amazon system, to me, it's very weird. I don't know why, but it's very unique in the global e-commerce platform, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But for the private labeling products... I think the buyers will have a better experience because people always just keep doing something good for the products, for their own brand, to make sure that the people to come back to be the repeat buyers. Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to have surprise questions for you, but do you recommend people still make a web store or a website at all for this business, for their business on here, or just only have an Amazon listing?
Or I guess maybe, I know it depends, but...
Yeah, it depends. For the newbies and for the normal, regular products, I think Amazon is the best option, especially at the beginning, if you're new to the e-commerce industry. Because the web store is very difficult to get the traffic. You will spend a lot of time gaining the experience on how to get traffic. And you should have a very good understanding of how internet marketing works, you know? So, but on Amazon, the traffic is over there. Yeah, you can just get a traffic directly from Amazon.
Like you were, I think before we recorded, but you're saying, and I guess it's true, like Amazon is becoming the search. It's where people go for products. Do people still search Google as much for a product? I think people just type in Amazon.com and search for products rather than go to Google.com and search for products.
Yeah, that's the habit. It's about a habit changing, you know. Now people used to search products on Google.com, right?
Yeah.
But now people tend to search what they want to buy on Amazon. Because it's like... So Amazon now is like... Like a shopping search engine,
yeah.
And sometimes it's smarter than Google. Mm-hmm. You know, Amazon has a very very smart algorithm system.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Google is upset because I think the buyer traffic is the most valuable, like, or one of the more valuable traffic, right? When somebody wants to buy a product. So if by Google losing some of that, it's definitely hurting its revenues. So back to some like logistics and things. There's a lot of times some sales tax or for a customer when they buy a product. Do you get involved with that as a seller or how does that work?
Fortunately, we are not required to pay for the tax currently. Okay. Yeah, in China, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe just for the U.S. local merchants.
Yeah, like...
Yeah, I guess so.
When I was doing e-commerce, I had to file every quarter how many sales I had. And I've had a New York company, a New Jersey company, and a Florida company. So depending on where my companies were at the time, yeah. I had to pay tax where I was registered. So I still actually was filing, even though I closed my Florida company a while ago. I still get notices about sales tax. But it's always like... You have to say how many sales you got in America and how many were in your state, and then you have to pay a certain percentage of tax for that sales in that state to that government.
Yeah, in China, I always recommend my expat friends who wants to open an account on Amazon. I just recommend Jay to use their Chinese local partners. ID to open an account to avoid the tax, because this is China, you know.
Yeah, interesting. This is Global from Asia.
I have a Canada friend, who has a Chinese wife, and he wants to open an account, but I highly recommend to use his wife's information to open an account.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, this is stuff that it's better you answer than I am afraid as an American to say too much. But
it might change later. I don't know. But, you know, it sounds like a little bit unfair, but it's about the country difference. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think the same in China, right? We're not talking about Taobao today or Tmall, but I mean, I think that's like the Amazon of China, right? Is Taobao or Alibaba, and they want tax. I mean, the government wants taxes here too, right? So they're making it very strict for people not in China to sell here. I think it's because they want to control more the tax or the sales or the currency. But yeah,
because the online business in China is a new industry, so the law for this is not material. I mean, mature yet.
Sure. Thanks, Wilson. So this is something interesting. Is there people we can talk to in China about Amazon, or are there people around the world that are like helping sellers, representatives, like business development people? Do you talk to them, or how does that work?
Okay, there are two ways to open an account in China. The first one is the do-it-yourself self-service, but it's not recommended. And Amazon has an office in China, and they have a lot of business development managers who help people to open an account. You can just to find them to help yourself to find open an account. And the good thing is that when something bad happens, they will help you.
Oh, cool.
They will help you check out what's going on and why your account is suspended or banned, or even help you reopen the account.
Yeah, it definitely is awesome. Is it the costs are the same if you do your DIY?
Yeah, it's the same.
The same. Exactly. So might as well do it, right? And do you have to have a company in China, or can you do it as an individual person? Or
if you want to have the business development manager open an account, you have to have a company. But if you don't want to get them to help yourself, you can just do it as an individual.
Great. This is really, really helpful. And so I guess there's some people here that are thinking about selling on Amazon, even me, maybe getting okay. back and forth. But
welcome
what are
to play the game.
Play the game. So what are some of the bigger challenges that you would say in today 2015 for Amazon sellers?
You mean the challenges?
Yeah.
I think the biggest one is to select the right products.
Mm.
So the product selection is like the direction. The marketing is like the power. If you choose the wrong direction, then you'll waste your time and money, you know, and confidence. Mm. So I think the most important thing is the product selection. You have to make a very clear competition analysis and just to get the data, like the BSR, the reviews. Yeah.
What's BSR?
The bestseller rank.
Oh, bestseller rank.
Yeah, it's a value to show you how the sales is going.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think that kind of covers my next question. But so somebody just getting started, they would select the product, but I think that's, I always get people asking me, well, how do I choose what product? So that's a show by itself, or that's like everything, right? So what would be some tips on finding the right product?
Actually, it depends on what resources you have, or what interests, or what hobbies you are good at, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you can just check out the Taobao, the Tmall, or the Alibaba.com. But first of all, you need to have a category to start with.
Yeah, so you should focus all your products in a similar category. Like if you want to be a seller, you should just stick within one vertical market.
Yeah, you have to start with the vertical category and just dig the gold from the category.
God.
Yeah, there are a lot actually. But for the electronics category, I don't recommend.
Yeah.
It's very, very fierce.
Yeah, that's so. And plus, that expires so quickly, right? The products are yeah.
Yeah, and the merchant from China, you know, so crazy.
Yeah.
They just set a price like you cannot imagine, you know. It's like the factory original price.
Yeah.
You are not able to compete with them. Yeah, not possible.
Yeah, there's lots of stories we can get into. But yeah, I guess that's just the way a lot of Chinese business owners think that price is the most, they want to just be the cheapest price. And
even when you have a new idea for the products, you'll be copied soon, you know, because this is how it's going in China. Yeah.
Well, that was kind of scary, but
but so for me, it's the same. Yeah, I'm so scary about this category too.
Yeah. Well, I guess I think we covered a lot today, and I really appreciate you coming on, Wilson, and second time too. So what are ways people could reach out to you or thank you or maybe give you some questions in the future?
Okay, I have a Chinese blog, but the menu is in English. You can leave your message on my blog, blues.la.
Blues.la.
.la.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you can add me on WeChat, Wilson Blues.
Okay, cool.
We will put that up on the show notes, Wilson, and thanks again for coming on. Have a great day.
Thank you. Have a nice time with you.
Thank you, Wilson. Man, I've not been selling Amazon for quite a few years. 2012, I took a break. But I always thought people had to have a U.S. company and have a U.S. like account, bank account, in order to get Amazon payments to be verified and deposited. I think this is pretty groundbreaking news for a lot of listeners. So I hope you guys take some action and get this going. I'd love to hear people's feedback. If you like the show also and it helps you, there's many ways you're going to get involved and help. But one easier one is give an iTunes review. I'm told by the marketers out there that if more reviews on iTunes helps more people find the show. So if you like it, go to globalfromasia.com/iTunes, and a quick 5-star review helps me out, get found more, and I also get all fuzzy and warm inside when I read it out on the show, and it motivates me. We're almost up to episode 100. Okay, and now a quick announcement. I announced a China Business Workshop going on outside of Miami on Saturday, September 19th this year. And I got some great people contacting me about it and getting involved. One is Victor Leal, one of my South American contacts and connections. He's been pretty awesome, and he connected me some of his Florida contacts about going. So yeah, maybe if you guys can't even make it, support me and my wife, family to get to the U.S. and back, pay some of the bills. So it's chinabusinessworkshop.com/sunny2015-2015. They'll afford you to the Eventbrite page if you can share that. And next week, we're going to have Tom Grundy from Hong Kong Free Press. He's the founder there, and I've been sharing it on some of our weekly newsletters. And he has given me some insights about how he's grown and started this news and media organization from Hong Kong. So we're going to get some business and politics in here a little bit, and it should be a fun one. So catch you next week, and thanks for tuning in. See ya. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.